Welcome or welcome back to Purpose Church. My name is Eric, and our prayer is that today's message helps you connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God. Whatever your next step is with Jesus, we are here to walk with you because we love you, and most importantly, God loves you. We hope to see you in person, on social media, or at purposechurch.com. Now let's open our Bibles and see what God has for us.
Well, good morning, Purpose Church. How are you feeling this morning? Yeah? The coffee is in you. The coffee is in you. If this is our first time meeting, my name is Jacques. I get to serve here as our young adults pastor. And if you're new here, I want to do something like I didn't do in the other service. If you're new here, I want to be generous today. Today only, you can go to any Chick-fil-A and tell them I sent you, and you get anything for free, okay? On me, okay? Today only. But I'd like to introduce my wife and I, Deshelle. And I have been married for a year and 1 month. But can you guess who picked this photo? Yeah, can you guess? Nah, okay. We have a 6-year-old named Jaden who is very full of life and energetic. And May 1st, 2026, we welcome Lily Jade into our family. She'll be 1 month tomorrow, which is kind of crazy. But over this past weekend, a group of young adults and I went to a young adult retreat. You can't tell by this photo. It was a retreat. We're not in Miami. We're in Santa Barbara. But we had a good time. We're excited. If you're a young adult from 18 to 35, we love to just connect with you. We love to meet with you. The vision for this year and next year is so amazing. And if you are available today at 5:30, we have a trivia game night versus Foothill Church. And it's here, so it's home court advantage. So I would love for you guys to come on because we need to bring our trophy back to us, okay? So today we are concluding a series called Great Question. And over the past several weeks, we've asked these questions. How can you trust that the Bible is reliable? How can you believe there's only one true faith? Did Noah's flood actually happen? Is there reliable evidence for believing in God? And does the Bible condone genocide, slavery, and monogamy? And was Jesus a historical person? And what did Jesus say and do? And why is there so much suffering in the world? And today, we are answering the question, God is able, but is he willing? God is able, but is he willing? Let's pray. Dear Father, we just come before you. Just say thank you, Father God. We've sung songs of your firm foundation, Father God. You are worthy of it all, Father God. And we just thank you and praise you for who you are, Father God. And we just pray that you remove any distractions, Father God, so we can encounter who you are, Father God, and discover your word for our lives today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So in France, it was a boy named Louis Braille, born in the early 1800s. Anybody born in the early 1800s here? Yeah? No? Nobody? That would be scary if it was. But he was in a working class family. His father was a leather maker. And one day when he was age 3, he decided to work in his father's workshop, and he got a tool called an awl. And with that, I was a sharp tool. He tried to imitate his father, and the tool slipped and pierced his eye. And what seemed like a small accident turned very devastating quickly. And by the age of 5, he was completely blind. But later, he had family and parents and teachers who would not accept his blindness as his final destination. And one day, a soldier visited his school and introduced him to a tactile code, which is raised dots meant to communicate for military at night. And the system was clunky, it was slow and practical, but when Lewis felt those raised dots, something came alive in him. And as a teenager, while others were sleeping, Lewis worked tirelessly to refine the system. And by the age of 15, he created what we now know as the Braille system. Simple raised dots that allow blind people to read, write, learn, and communicate independently. And at first, no one believed it. Nobody wanted the system. system was rejected, leaders resisted it, and Lewis himself never lived to see the full acceptance, which he died at 43. But today, over 200 years later, his system is used worldwide, and millions of blind people can read scripture, get an education, and live independently because someone society labeled limited was actually carrying a gift the world needed. You see, Lewis Braille's story reminds us that the real question is rarely whether God is able. The deeper question is whether God is willing to touch what looks broken and give it purpose. And we normally fall into two categories: whether or not God is able, and or whether or not God is willing. You see, most of us don't struggle believing God is powerful. We struggle believing is God is personal. We don't doubt his ability, but we doubt his willingness. And in Matthew 8, we meet a man who is asking that very question. You see, this story comes right after Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. And if you haven't read that, I would encourage you to read it. It's 111 verses of Jesus speaking and pouring out his heart about righteousness and purity of heart and how to overcome lust and anxiety and the people who belong in his kingdom. And now his message, his sermon is finished. And the crowd was in awe of his teaching and his authority. And now we start in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1. And it says, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him, and the man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately he was cleansed from his leprosy. And then Jesus said to him, see that you go, you don't tell nobody, go to and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift of Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Did you see it? Before the man ever spoke a word, before he ever asked a question, he does something bold. He moves. And that's where the story really begins, because he took a risk just to get to Jesus. And there is a risk associated with the request. What was the risk, you tell me? You ask? I love the writer Matthew in this story. He doesn't say the man's name. He names him by his label and condition. Now, look it up. What is leprosy? If you want the biblical term of leprosy and how it's defined, you can find that in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. And the word leprosy is mentioned 68 times. And the main reason why leprosy is talked about so much in the Bible, it is a graphic illustration of sin's destructive power. And if found affected, we find in Leviticus 13, verse 45, starting at 45, and it says, anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkept, cover the lower part of their mouth, and cry out, unclean, unclean. You see the exclamation points? Do you read the Bible like that, or just me? Just me? Okay. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. And they live alone, they must live outside of the camp. You see, the leper was considered utterly unclean, physically, spiritually, and socially. But let's look at the physical, physically. There's white patches, there's sores, there's swelling, there's discoloration, there's progressive deterioration, loss of nerve damage. People couldn't feel pain, and injuries went unnoticed. Doesn't that sound like sin in your life? The affection worsened. Most people lost fingers, toes, and limbs because wounds went untreated. How about socially? Socially, lepers had to live outside of the city in the camp with other lepers. That's another message all by itself. No physical contact with family, no normal relationships, public shame, torn clothes, constant public humiliation, and lost reputation. No longer known by their name, but by their condition. I know I introduced myself earlier, but can I reintroduce myself? Hello, my name is Quiet, Timid, Angry. Those are my labels that people put on me or that I put on myself. You see, in Jesus' day, the label was unclean. In our day, labels may sound like depressed, broken, addict, failure, unwanted, disqualified, unlovable. You see, we may not shout unclean out loud, but we whisper it in our hearts. We whisper it in our hearts. And the problem wasn't just that he had leprosy. The problem was that the leprosy was a label. And some of us don't carry pain. We carry labels that were never meant to define us. So what label are you carrying? What condition are you carrying? Let's look at spiritually. How did it affect us spiritually? There was no temple worship, no sacrifices, and declared ceremonially unclean. And amongst the 61 defilements of the ancient Jewish law, leprosy was second only to a dead body in seriousness. You see, the lepers wasn't allowed to come within 6 feet of any other human. And if the wind was blowing, they couldn't be within 150 feet from anyone. And that was the only way they knew how to contain this disease. So you see, this man took a big risk. Not only coming to Jesus, but coming into the city. He could have been stoned, rejected, even humiliated. But he knew that staying where he was meant guaranteed decay and death. So he chose to take the risk. He didn't wait until he was healed to come. He came so that he can be healed. And some of us are waiting to feel better before we take the step forward. Just waiting to be clean before we pray. Or waiting to have it all together before we serve. But faith doesn't wait for comfort. It moves towards Jesus anyway. And that's what this man did. John Wimber says, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. R-I-S-K. I've been in a few emergency rooms growing up. I've been bitten by a poisonous spider. I had a glass shower door fall on my foot. I've been electrocuted. I don't recommend that one, but I've been electrocuted before. But here's the thing about ERs. People don't worry about how they look. They show up bleeding, broken, unfiltered because staying home is more dangerous than the risk of being seen. You see, the leper knew that staying isolated would kill him. And sometimes taking the risk is the only way to the reward. So how can we apply that to our lives this week? Our prayer. How deep is your prayer life? How deep is your prayer life? Can your prayer life stop the rain and bring the rain? Confession. In James 5:16, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There is healing in your confession, not only to God, but to people, community, and serving. One thing I found out about serving is serving not only helps me discover my purpose, but it helps me encounter Jesus in a different way. So don't wait to feel clean. Don't wait to feel healed. Don't wait to feel whole. So I have a question. What risks have you been avoiding because rejection feels safer than hope? But notice something powerful. When he gets to Jesus, he doesn't demand. He worships Jesus first. In scripture, it says that the men knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." That's worship. Before the miracle, before the answer, before clarity, he acknowledged the authority before he asked for intervention. Even while he was still unclean, rejected, broken, he chose to worship. This wasn't just desperation, it was surrender. He didn't say, "Jesus, fix me." He said, "Lord." Even with uncertainty, he still honored Jesus. He didn't fully understand everything, but he understood enough to kneel. And you can have questions and still have worship. And worship says, "You don't owe me anything, but I trust you with everything." And some of us worship after God moves. But this man worshiped before God ever responded. So is your worship dependent on results or rooted in revelation? Are you worshiping with your arms folded? "Christ is my firm foundation." Do I really want to worship? He didn't answer my prayer. He didn't answer my prayer. He's not moving fast enough for me. But as I can tell, you're breathing and living right now. You made it here right now. So just your breath alone deserves all praise to God. Do you have Sunday circled on your calendar? Let's look at Psalms 122, starting at the first verse. And it says, "I rejoice with those who said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem.'" Was anybody here before the doors of the church opened? Are you excited to worship with other people? Are you excited to hear God's word? So do you guys know the difference between a concert and a courtroom? I'll answer it for you. You ain't got to. So a few years ago with some of my sisters, I went to an Usher concert. Don't judge me, okay? Don't judge me, all right? It was good. It was, you know, I was waiting on my song and everything. And when the song came on, you know, I got my little two-step and everything and all that good stuff. And I realized I'm responding to the moment. But on the flip side, growing up, I watched a lot of Judge Judy. I watched a lot of Judge Judy, you know? And, you know, when the judge's chambers, and she comes out, the room stands up. She doesn't have to say anything because they understand her authority. See the difference? We respond to moments at concerts, but in the judge seats, when she comes, there is an authority that happens. And this man didn't respond emotionally. He recognized who Jesus was. Does Jesus have authority over your life? Your whole life. Not just, hey, you can have this room, but you can't come in this room. And now Jesus responds, but not the way anyone expects. You see, Jesus touched him before he cleansed him. This was the most shocking moment in the text. You see, because the Bible says that Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. He didn't have to touch the man. If you go further and read Matthew chapter 8, you can see the next story that Jesus didn't even see the man that he healed. He just said and spoke a word. And the man that he didn't see was healed. But something was different here. And Jesus chose to touch the man with leprosy. And this alone in the Mosaic law would have made Jesus unclean himself. And it would be deeply shocking for those who are watching this in real time. Because no rabbi would do that. No religious leader would do that. You see, touching meant contamination. But Jesus doesn't avoid him. Jesus moves towards him. And I can just imagine the leper just asking the question, but to feel somebody that touched you for a long time that you haven't been touched does something to you. You see, before the healing, there's compassion. Before the cleansing, there is connection. And I love this quote by Tim Keller. He says, Jesus sees us as we are and accepts us as we are. But by his grace, he does not leave us as we are. Isn't that amazing? Yep. By his grace, doesn't leave us as we are. And as we continue in Matthew chapter 8, verse 3, and it says, immediately he was cleansed of leprosy, of his leprosy. That word, immediately. I love that word. And this, the Greek word is eutheos. Eutheos. Which means without delay, at once, suddenly, instant, without interruption. In other words, there was no waiting period between Jesus' willingness and the man's transformation. No process, no probation period, no gradual improvement. The moment Jesus speaks, the condition that had defined this man disappears. But you see, Jesus wasn't finished, because with Jesus, healing is never the end goal. You see, Jesus didn't just cleanse him, he restored him. This man had been isolated for years, rejected daily, labeled permanently ill, and yet Jesus undid years of pain instantly. How many wants an instant answer? Yeah. How many is in need of an instant and an immediately answer? But then Jesus tells the man, go show yourself to the priest. Why? Because the priest was the first one to tell him he was unclean. For the man, the ceremony state of uncleanliness caused by his condition was apparently the worst part of his disease. You see, he would have been separate from not only the worship of God in the temple, but also from the daily lives of people he loved deeply. Because restoration meant re-entry to worship, reconnection to community, and reclaiming his identity. You see, the healing fixed his body, but the restoration gave him his life back. And some of us just want relief, but God wants wholeness in your life. Jesus doesn't just want to stop your pain. He wants to restart your purpose. So here's a life group question that I have for you. Everybody's in the life group, right? Yeah? All right. Where in your life do you need restoration, not just relief? And now, Jesus speaks the words that answer the question we all ask. You are worthy, and God is willing. You are worthy, and God is willing. You see, Jesus says, I am willing, be clean. I am willing, those three words, rewrites identity. He didn't just heal his condition, he broke his label off. This man thought the issue was willingness, but Jesus reveals the issue was trust. When I was in college, I had this brown box that I taped together and I cut the top out of, and I put it on the refrigerator. And then anything that I worried about, anything that I needed to pray for, I wrote on a white piece of paper, folded it up, put in the box, because it had God on it. And that, I'm a visual learner, told me, I'm trusting God. Let me write it down and put it in there. That's, I'm trusting God. And anytime I thought about it, I worried about it, I went back to that box, I took it out, and put it in my drawer. It says, I don't trust God enough. Let me do it myself. Let me worry about it. Let me take on the pain. I love what Pastor Max says. He says, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. See, we put things on our refrigerators that we love. I have a niece who painted a picture. I don't know what it is, but it's on my refrigerator. It's on there because I love her. So things that you love, you place on your refrigerator. And God loves you. And your picture is on his refrigerator. You see, worthiness isn't based on performance. It's based on being chosen. You are chosen. God chose you. He sent his son to die for you. In John 10, and starting at the verse 10, Jesus is talking. It says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the God and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You see, I don't know what you're going through, but what I do know is that we're all going through something. And some of us are having doubts that God can't change it because who we are or what we did last night. But I'm here to tell you that God is willing if you're willing to come to him. You see, I'm not telling you about what I heard. I'm telling you about what I know. I'm telling you about what I know. You're looking at somebody who's been sexually abused all through middle school, who parents separated. Anger, timid, quiet, and for years wrestled with that. It was addicted to porn and lust, new labels, an addict, hypocrite. I would come to church every Sunday, put a smile on, and live a different way outside. But God. I love those two words, but God. Because it rewrites everything before. Encounter God. Changed my life. And he gave us new names. Son. Daughter. Royal priesthood. Citizen of heaven. Don't you like those names better? Yeah. But if you're like me or the man with leprosy, who came to Jesus with doubts. He is able, but more importantly, he is willing. He is willing to save you. He is willing to heal you. He is willing to restore you. And Jesus is calling you to come. So give him your burdens, your struggles, your heart, and your brokenness. And some of you walked in believing that God is able, but unsure if he is willing for you. But today, God has answered that question. You are worthy, period. You are worthy, period. God is willing. And restoration is available. Healing is available. If you're ready to take that next step, if you need healing, if you need restoration, if you need trust renewed, if you need those labels to be broken off, can you just stand with me? Can you just stand? If you need those labels, if you need restoration, if you need hope, he is willing. He is willing. As I was reading yesterday, the verse 2 says, he asks, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And it dawned on me, how did he know that Jesus can make him clean? It's because the stories that he heard in the camp. Did you hear about the woman with the issue of blood that got healed? Did you hear about the two blind men? Or just imagine coming to a camp full of leopards and 10 of them are missing. What happened? Did you not hear about them? As Jesus was walking on the road and 10 leopards cried out. They cried out to Jesus. And all Jesus said was, go show yourself to the priest. And as they walked, they were healed. Can you imagine how it feels to be a leopard hearing that? How encouraged it was? If they can get healed, surely I can. Let me go and ask him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And sometimes you just need encouragement. We just sung it. Rain came, wind blew, my house was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it. Come on. Rain came, wind blew, my house was built on. I'm gonna make it through. Then, Father, we just thank you and praise you for who you are, Father. That we know that you are willing and able, Father God. So take our doubt, take our shame, take our fear, take our frustration, and give us hope. Give us peace. Give us restoration, Father God, for you are worthy, Father God. And we love to be in your family, in your house, Father God. Just seeing our pictures on your refrigerator is enough for us. Come on. So as we get to worship you, Father God, let us meet heaven in worship. Let us take the roof off, Father God, and give you all your glory, all your praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.